today as we come to the table.
Be willing to lay down anything that God has closed on you and then go to the doors that are open. And by the way, just because God has closed a door on you guys, it doesn't mean he's not going to open it up later. Maybe there's something in your heart you really want to do for the Lord, but it just, the door hasn't opened. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. Listen, weight training is some of God's best way to get our attention. I testify to it. Sometimes it takes weight training to slow us down, to get our attention, and to say, this is the path. This is the way. I'll lead you.
Pastor Mark reminds us today that one of God's most effective tools for getting our attention is weight training. When we see something great we could be doing for the kingdom of God, but the Holy Spirit says, wait, it can be hard to handle. It can be discouraging. But if we'll use the waiting to focus on Jesus alone, he will use that weight in amazing ways in our lives. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Have you had to wait for something you know is going to be good? And good not only for you, but for the kingdom of God? Maybe you're waiting now. Don't let the time be wasted. Accept the leading of the Spirit and lean into every word he says. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 16 as he continues his message, The Leading of the Holy Spirit.
We have to realize that no matter how badly we want to share, maybe with that parent or that brother or that sister, if their heart is hard as a brick, sometimes we need to wait. And I've had situations where I'm thinking, man, this person needs the Lord, but I can hear the Holy Spirit. Don't say a word. They're not going to hear you right now. They're only going to mock you at this point. And so again, they're forbidden by the Spirit. And God says, you know, God has something else in mind, if you will. But it's amazing to think the Holy Spirit will prevent us sometimes from going to certain places and doing certain things. No matter how hard we kick on the door, God will meet us and God will do what it takes to stop us. And quite frankly, I'm thankful that God will do what it takes to stop us. You know, it's interesting. Just as an example of this, it depends on our mindset if we can see God working in everything. On that same Monday, that rainy Monday that I poked my finger, went to two different doctors, went to my first doctor. He said, oh, you need to go to the emergency room. Go to the emergency room. Then I find out there's a, you know, I have to do some work on one of my tires and it's got a nail in it. Get that fixed. And before I'm leaving the tire place, my wife has a flat and is broken down the side of the road with the girls, right? And all these things are happening at the same time. And listen, when these kind of things happen in your life, you have options. You can either grumble and complain or you can look for the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you. In the past, there have been many times I've grumbled and complained. I have, when these things have happened. So I'm not going to say I haven't. But this was one of those grace days. You ever had a grace day? Where God's just giving grace. It was like a great day. I was having fun. I said, this is awesome. I mean, I don't like the fact that I'm going to two tire places and spending all this money and my wife and kids are on the side of the road and I've cut my finger on the end. And I don't like all this stuff. But God, I know you're using it. You have a reason for this. How do I know that God didn't just save the life of my wife and children by giving them a flat tire on the side of the road on a rainy day? Praise the Lord for that. You never know what God has done. We have to make sure that our eyes are open to the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And rather than saying, God, how could you do this? My arm's already hurt. Now you cut my finger. Now it's raining. Now I have a tire fixed. Now my wife's got a flat tire. Now just found out my water heater's leaking at home right now during church. And all these things, and that's true, but all these things, right? And I can sit here and go, God, how could you do this? Marcus, because I do love you. This is my sign of love to you. Why? You have no idea what I'm doing. You have no idea. And if you knew, you would be thanking me with praise offerings. We've got to learn to realize he loves us. And everything he does is for a purpose. Everything in our lives. Paul had to learn this. And as bad as Paul wanted to go and do all this stuff, Paul couldn't do it. You know, God wouldn't let him. Because again, he had something else that he wanted Paul to do. He had someone else he wanted Paul to go to. He had another region he wanted Paul to reach. But all Paul could think of is all those poor people who needed Jesus in that area. Yes, they needed Jesus. And God had a plan to send someone, as we're going to see in just a moment. But it wasn't Paul. And look at verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But note this, the Spirit did not permit them. So again, the Holy Spirit stopping them from going to this area and sharing the gospel and doing these kind of things, again, goes against everything that our mind would normally think with the leading of the Spirit. Lord, that can't be you. It's got to be the enemy. No, it's God sometimes. And we have to be sensitive to that. Now, it's interesting here, the Holy Spirit may have given us some insight into why he wouldn't let them go to Bithynia. Because oftentimes God uses the language to speak to us and to give us insight if we just pay attention. The word Bithynia, interestingly enough, means a violent rushing. And it may be that if God had allowed Paul to continue on to Bithynia, there would have been a violent rushing upon he and Timothy, and they'd have been killed. You know, in certain areas, they weren't ready to hear it, and they would put you to death. So God in his mercy may have just spared Paul's life, may have just spared Timothy's life, and no doubt they were going, Lord, why won't you let us go? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Why is the door closed, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? I'm not saying they were doing that. I think Paul trusted the Lord. But at the same time, I speak for me, what my mind would have been doing, how I would have been thinking. You know, God says, you know, I may be protecting you from a violent rushing, something that would happen to you that would have destroyed you. I've got more work for you to do. So trust me and relax. But there's another important thing to note here. Even though Paul continues to run into obstacles, note this, he doesn't give up, but he continues to move forward. Now, this is the key, gang. If God shuts a door, if doors get closed on us, we try to step out and do ministry or do what we feel God wants us to do. If the door closes, we need to say, well, then where is it open, Lord? Because you're going to do something. Even if it's nothing but finding that prayer closet where you can pray, there's going to be an open door for ministry. And what I love about Paul is Paul never took no for an answer. Paul, you know, was the kind of guy, again, that if there's an open door, he's going to go through it. If there's not an open door, then he's probably going to force his way in if he can, unless God stops him. And so here Paul is trying to do this, and God said, no, Paul, this is not what I want you to do. I'm not going to permit you to go in there. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to follow me, and you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. But Paul keeps going, and that's a lesson for us. Keep going. Look at verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And now we're going to see in verse 9, God, after stopping Paul dead in his tracks, instead of Paul's vision, now God gives Paul God's vision. Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now I'm adding the us. But I wonder if it wasn't read that way. I wonder if he didn't say it that way. Paul, you're trying to go everywhere else. We need you over here. The door's open. Come to us. We're wide open, and we need you to come and minister to us. And so God directs him by a vision. And after he had seen the vision, now again, I love Paul. Notice this. When he knows which way he's supposed to go, he doesn't waste any time. He's not a procrastinator. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now they have direction, they take off, and the wind is at their back rather than stopping them. Now, something to note before we move on and see what happens here over these next few verses, and we see what happens when they head down there. Notice it says in verse 10, we sought to go to Macedonia. At the first part of this chapter, it says they, as if it's a person writing in the third person. Now suddenly it shifts right here in this book from this point on to we. Why? Well, because many believe this is where Luke joined up with Paul and Timothy in his journeys. We know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and we know that Luke traveled with Paul, and it's interesting if indeed this was Paul's thorn in the flesh that happened right here, which again, many believe it was, and I think that's highly likely that God used that to stop him in a physical ailment. Luke was a doctor. And so this is great now. It's like, man, I'm hurt. I'm messed up. I got this thorn in the flesh. Hey, there's this doctor who loves Jesus. He'd love to travel with you guys. Great. I'd like a doctor to travel with me. How about you guys? I'd like a doctor to travel with me, especially the last year. You know, that'd be great. But the bottom line is, this probably shows all the more reason that indeed something had happened to Paul. He now takes this doctor with him, and this doctor now from this point on begins to travel with them in the book of Acts and in their journeys. Now we see where it happens as they get on down to Philippi. Notice verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day we came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. Again, this is a certain area of Macedonia. It was a colony, and we were staying there in that city for some days. Again, they stayed there in Philippi for some days. This is interesting to note, too, again, as you're following the leading of the Spirit, and indeed they were following the leading of the Spirit. But note this, on their way to where God called them to be, they stopped over in Philippi because God told them to. What's my point? Simply this. As God leads us, let's be sensitive to what God is doing on our way to where we're traveling. You know, God will say, oh, look, I've called you to this. But maybe as we're called to that, there may be something that delays us. There may be something where God says, I want to do a work here before you continue on to Knoxville or wherever you're going to go. There may be something here I want you to do. And so be sensitive to my spirit and follow me. And so the leading of the Lord, remember Jesus when he was traveling down to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified. And it said, he said, I must go into Samaria. He had to go into Samaria, it says. He had to. Why? There was a woman there at a well waiting to hear the gospel who was going to affect an entire city, an entire town. And so the Lord was sensitive to the Spirit to be able to be directed another area for a few days to preach the gospel there. My point is simply this. Once we know where God wants us to go and what he wants us to do, let's don't lose our sensitivity to the Spirit. Lord, you've told me to go downtown and share today. So here I'm going to go. I'm going to go downtown and share. God may redirect that. You know, he may give you a flat tire on the way and somebody may pull you over, you know, you get to share with whoever's helping you or whatever. Then, Lord, I can't believe it. I was going to go downtown, I was going to share. And somebody pulls over. It's one of you ladies. They're helping you change a tire. And God moves in your heart. Somehow the issue of church comes up or the Lord, you begin to say, well, let me share about me. You begin to share your testimonies. They're changing the tire or whatever. Now make sure they're almost done because you don't want them to walk off. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But you have a chance to share, right? Maybe God, the whole time he never intended you to go to campus and share. The whole time it was to meet that person who you knew would stop on the side of the road and help you change your tire. So you can either get frustrated and say, Lord, I was going to serve you today, but the enemy gave me a flat tire. No, I flattened your tire so that I could have Julie stop by and you could share Christ with Julie. I remember right after I came to the Lord, God had me run into a couple of, I've shared this with you before, of Jewish ladies to share the gospel with. I don't know why. Not that they shouldn't be shared with, but it just seemed like that was kind of obvious. Somebody ran into me, knocked me off the road, and my car knocked down this guy's mailbox. Anyway, I had a wreck. And it was a Jewish girl that hit me. So she gets in the squad car, and we're filling all the reports, you know, it was inside. It was either raining or else it was night. I forget which it was. But the policeman was saved as well, and we began to kind of tag team witness to her. And so the cop's up there sharing, I'm back there sharing, and we're all kind of sharing with her, you know, sharing the Lord with her. And I could, the whole time, I said, Lord, this is a terrible time. There's never a good time for a wreck, right? This is a terrible time for a wreck. You know my financial situation. You know that I need a vehicle. You know all this. You know that. God said, Mark, I'll take care of your transportation. She needs Jesus. You follow me? And we've got to somehow rise above what we think we have to do for what God wants to do. This is something I believe God was teaching Paul and doing in Paul's life. And so as they come on down to even finally get the open door that Paul wanted, they stop over in Philippi. And does it say exactly what they did there other than they were there for a few days? They stayed there. No doubt God had to work for them. And notice verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, very interesting verse. Notice they're at the riverside where prayer was customarily made. When Paul went to any town, he would always go to the synagogue of the Jews first thing. And now we find Paul going down to the riverside. Why? That shows us that there was no synagogue in this region. This city did not have a synagogue. How do we know that? Because they would have had a synagogue and been meeting there. But the way the Jews did it, if they didn't have a synagogue, they would meet down by the river if there was one nearby because they could do all their ritual cleansings and have their ceremonies and their ritual cleansings, their mikvahs, which are kind of similar to a baptism as they would cleanse themselves ritually and all this stuff. So they had the river to do that in. But it's interesting because you had to have at least 10 Jewish males in order to have a synagogue. And here we see they obviously didn't have 10 at least Orthodox Jewish males in this town for Paul to share with. And it says Paul spoke to the women, which would indicate no men were there at all. So again, this was a town that needed the gospel and they needed the men to hear the gospel. And we don't know exactly why there weren't any there other than there's a very good chance that this was because the current emperor at that time, Emperor Claudius, had expelled all the Jews from Rome where he could find them for what he called religious disturbances. Philippi nearby was a Roman colony, and so again, these orders could have spilled down. It might have been because of this thing where all the Jewish men were gone. But notice this, God had redirected Paul's life by whatever it was God used to speak to this one woman and these few women by a riverside rather than some great event in the city. I don't know about you guys, but I think about Paul the Apostle. If Paul's coming to my town, there's going to be a big stage with big speakers, lights, and probably some kind of band first to draw the kids in. And once all the kids are there, ladies and gentlemen, Paul the Apostle. And Paul goes out and gives the gospel, right? Probably would contact all the local news stations and whatever. And I'm not saying necessarily that's wrong, but look at the way God works. Look at the way the Holy Spirit works. God said, no, Paul, you can't go there. No, Paul, you can't go there. I'm going to send you to a riverside to a few women to share the gospel because I'm going to use those women to change the world. It's interesting. We're going to see in just a moment. He shares with a woman by the name of Lydia who gives her life to Christ. And it's interesting that Lydia was from the very area that God forbid Paul to go. Isn't that interesting? In other words, Paul, you're not the right guy for that area. If you went in there, Paul, I mean, who knows? Maybe he was too abrupt. Maybe he was, who knows what the situation was? Maybe the population mix, who knows? But Lydia understands that area. I want you to speak the word to Lydia. Going to save her entire family. She'll take the gospel back to that area. And that's exactly what God does. And so we have to realize when God redirects us, he's often doing something that is going to just redirect the gospel through someone else and then free us up to go somewhere else like he did for Paul. And so I love to watch how the Spirit works, how the Lord works. Again, it's interesting. Thyatira was a city of Asia Minor located in modern-day Turkey at the border of Lydia and Mysia. Again, it was known for its purple dyes, which were very expensive, and the attire of wealth and royalty. Very possibly Lydia here, you know, again, being involved in this whole industry, probably a very wealthy woman or a good chance of that. And God could use her to spread the gospel in that region. Now, we don't know all the details of her life and all that was going on here. But notice what it says. There was a certain woman, verse 14, named Lydia. She heard us, and she was a seller of purple. Note that. That was her industry, her business, from the city of Thyatira, and she worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, this is exciting to me, again, because not only the fact that God could use her and the resources he'd given her as a seller of purple, no doubt a very wealthy person, but notice this. God sent Paul the apostle to this woman here by the riverside. He loved her so much that he shut all the other doors down so she could be reached. That's amazing to me. I mean, you would think that if you're going to be reached by Paul the apostle, it wouldn't be sitting on a riverside in Thyatira. As I said, it would be in some major city and, you know, where Paul's downtown speaking or some big venue. What's my point in all that? God will do what it takes to reach you wherever you are. And some of you may feel like you're sitting alone at a riverside this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now where you are. The rivers of living water are flowing right by you, and all you've got to do is reach out and drink. And God will start a war. God will cause an illness. God will do whatever he has to do to get the gospel to you because he loves you that much. And if we're willing to be used, sometimes God will use us to do that. And I believe that's exactly what's happening here with Lydia. No doubt Lydia was crying out to God saying, God, there's got to be more. I know the religion of the Jews, but it's not enough. I'm empty. There's something more. Again, I think we see some other indications and maybe insight by the Holy Spirit because Thyatira incidentally means the odor of affliction and Lydia means travail. It doesn't tell us, but because of the Holy Spirit's hint here, I believe that probably Lydia was in some type of affliction and was crying out to the Lord in travail down by the riverside. Oh, God, you've got to hear me, Lord. Something's missing. I don't know what it is. And here's Paul. Lord, we're going down to Macedonia. No, you're not. I'm going to send you to Lydia. She really needs you. She wants you. She has the resources to reach the area of her, the people of her area. She has the heart. She knows them. She's crying out for the truth. Oh, Lord, we're going in. Nothing's going to stop us. Now, Paul, there's this lady over. And I'm not saying this conversation went on. Paul would never directly disobey the Lord. I'm getting the heavenly vantage point. Paul was set on going somewhere else, and God said, no, you're going to go to Lydia, this lady by the riverside, because that's where I'm going to direct you by my Spirit. And if I have to cause whatever I have to cause to get you there, I'm going to do it. You're going to share with her, and we're going to use you to go somewhere else, and she's going to be used by me to change her whole region. So see how the Holy Spirit works. Never think that just sharing with one person doesn't matter. Can you imagine being the guy that day, you always hear the story about Billy Graham, a little boy who they gave an invitation in his classroom. He accepted Christ that day. Can you imagine the teacher? Oh, that's sweet. I'm so glad, you know, my little Billy gave his life to the Lord today. Guys, did you hear that? Isn't it neat? Good, yeah, it's so exciting. Let's go get lunch. And God says, I'm about to change the world. Powerful. Don't ever think that one little one you lead to the Lord could not change the world. Literally, be faithful. So maybe in travail, maybe in affliction, she's listening and all of a sudden, you know, God comes in. I love this language because it says that God opened her heart when Paul began to share. Literally in the language, what it means is he swung the double doors wide open of her heart. Is that powerful or what? He swung the double doors. It's like double doors swinging open is what it's like in the language. And it's this whole picture. If it wasn't just like a little bit, God is like, boom, I am ready. Share the gospel with me. And God did it. You ever met people like that where God just opens their heart to receive the gospel? It's very rare for me. Most of the time, it's like when I try to share the Lord with people, the door gets slammed and they look at this kind of, you know, through the peephole going, what's this guy going to, not literally, but, you know, you feel like that. You know, all right, what do you got to share? You're some, you know, religious weirdo or whatever, you know, and they kind of look at you funny, right? I love it when God just slings the door open. You know, I had that happen one time in Market Square. We're down there sharing the gospel. And I've never had great luck doing street witnessing, leading people to the Lord. I know that some plant, some water, but I think, Lord, every once in a while, let me lead them to the Lord, you know. And I kind of had one of those nights going, I'll go with you guys. It'd be great. But I'm already thinking. I already said, nobody's going to come to the Lord. I'll share. I'll plant seeds. I'll water. But they're not going to come. They never do. The first year I walked, both of them, standing there together. You guys like to hear about the Lord? Yes. And just boom, their hearts flew over. They both received Christ right there. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I get the point. Just go do it. Here's the point. We can't open a heart, can we? God opens the heart. What's our job? To share. Our job is to share the gospel. It's God's job to open the heart. God swung the doors open of Lydia's heart. Lydia's excited. Lydia receives the Lord, the message that he gave, and the things spoken by Paul. And look at verse 15. It says, and when she and her husband were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. And again, very persuasive, no doubt. Strong businesswoman. And Paul needs a place to stay anywhere. And she's like, come on home and I'll make a big meal. You're staying at my place. And they need a place. And so they end up staying there at Lydia's. And no doubt had a great evening together. Knowing Paul, he probably taught her ears off until the wee hours of the morning, as he was known to do, and even people fall asleep and fall out of windows before. So Paul, no doubt they had quite the evening, and I'm sure she didn't mind any of it. And so, again, guys, as we look at this today, listen, here's what I want us to take with us today. As we finish looking at the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's several things I want you to note here. Number one, sometimes the Holy Spirit will forbid us from doing things and going certain places, even if it's our greatest desire. We want to do it with all of our heart, but God says, no, I know what's best for you, and you're my servant. I want you to do this instead. And that's a real test of the heart. Are we going to be submissive to the Lord and say, your will be done, not mine, not my will, your will be done, even as the Lord did in the garden. So sometimes God will forbid us. We need to know that. And we need to also ask ourselves if we're willing to give that up if we see God has closed the door. Secondly, if we refuse to listen to the leading of the Lord, he uses many different methods. He'll use his word to direct us by the Spirit. He'll use his voice to our heart by the Spirit. He'll use our circumstances by his Spirit. He'll use our environment by his Spirit. And he'll even use physical infirmity to speak to us and direct us. Guys, we have to be open to all of those and say, all right, God, I hear you. What do you want to say? I want to encourage you guys today to be open to the leading of the Spirit. Whatever God's telling you to do, to be open to it. Say, all right, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? Now, some of you this morning, God's been leading you by the Spirit in one of those five ways, and you haven't even recognized it until this morning. You're going, whoa, I think maybe God's leading me, and I never thought about anything beyond the word and prayer, but, you know, I don't really have the finances to do that right now. I see that environmentally, I can't really do that right now because of the environment that I'm in, whatever the case may be. I see there's some physical reason that I can't. Whatever the case might be, trust him. Trust him and say, okay, God, you've closed these doors down. What door have you opened for me? I'll be willing to go through it and serve you. And so be willing to lay down anything that God has closed on you and then go to the doors that are open. And by the way, just because God has closed a door on you guys, it doesn't mean he's not going to open it up later. Maybe there's something in your heart you really want to do for the Lord, but the door hasn't opened. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. Listen, weight training is some of God's best way to get our attention. I testify to it. Sometimes it takes weight training to slow us down, to get our attention, and to say, this is the path. This is the way. I'll lead you.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Acts. From the inspiring faith of Stephen, to walking through Paul's conversion, to observing how the early church grew and thrived, there's much more to gain from this eventful book. Jesus had promised to send a helper, and he certainly delivered in sending his Spirit to overflowing in these new Christians. It must have been an exciting and also very challenging period of time that these men and women were getting to be a part of. If there was something in this message that you need to hear again, you can go to thewaymedia.net and navigate to Come to the Table to listen to, or download this or other messages. You can also download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. If you're a prayer warrior, we very much value your consistent prayers during this study through Acts. God can do mighty things through the faithful prayers of those who seek after Him. We're earnestly expecting Him to do big things in and through this radio ministry. We're thankful for your prayers, and we're trusting God to use this platform to get the word out and for it to spread like wildfire. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Acts, so we hope you'll be able to join us next time. We look forward to what will be shared about these people of faith and the trials and triumphs they faced as they walk out their lives in a way that sought to honor God. May these accounts inspire you to do the same and to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.